Soulja Boy Tell.
And welcome to the Tiger's Den. Hello, everyone. I am your host, Scott. Thank you for joining us on episode 6 of the Tiger's Den. I, of course, want to start off by just thanking everyone for the downloads and the listens. Please don't forget to follow us on Twitter at @Tiger_podcast. It has been an interesting week, kind of a rough week for a lot of people, especially here in the South. I'm in Central Louisiana. We've gotten a lot of ice and snow this week. I know everyone in Texas is having a rough time with the ice and snow as well. And I just want to, thank all the first responders and linesmen that are out working in rough conditions to try to get people's power back on. I know we lost power here for a day, which wasn't bad, and the water's kind of been off and on, but just thankful to everyone that has worked so hard during this rough week of ice and snow. I hope that you are doing well. I'm praying for everyone who is without power, without food and water, and also just thankful again for all the hard work that's going into getting everything restored. Hopefully, maybe this show will give you a reprieve, a break from all the craziness of this week. And so I hope you enjoy it. So let's get started with some LSU football. All right, LSU football. Honestly, there really isn't a whole lot this week. Coach O was on off the bench earlier this week and spoke a little bit of Mike Jones Jr., the inside linebacker that they got graduate transfer they got from Clemson. Coach O was excited to get him. He was one of the players that they were, you know, trying to get or hoping they would get. You know, they obviously got him. He will start, you know, come in and be eligible to start right away, which is great. Coach O also said that he expects him to be playing inside linebacker, which, you know, is a position that's obviously very important on the field. That's, you know, great. Glad to have him come in. You know, if he was a target for the coaching staff, then that's definitely somebody that they feel can fit their system and somebody they wanted to get. So glad we got him. And, you know, honestly, there's really not a lot of football news this week. That's pretty much going to be it for the football news. Hopefully, coming up soon, we'll have some more stuff to talk about, obviously, with, you know, spring practice and stuff coming up. We'll have time to talk and kind of hopefully break down some position battles, one of which obviously will be quarterback. You know, if Miles Brennan's coming back, how healthy is he? And, you know, will he get pressed for starting time with the two backups that, you know, played somewhat well? You know, they're both freshmen, so it's not easy to step in like that as a freshman and perform. It'll be interesting to see the quarterback situation. Obviously, we also have, you know, freshmen coming in. So it'll be interesting spring. With that being said, we will move on to LSU basketball. Last time we talked, we kind of talked about LSU's upcoming game against Tennessee and that the way they had been playing, you know, maybe that little break that we had kind of might have helped some. And it really apparently did because, man, I tell you, we went in against number 16 Tennessee. Honestly, I didn't think the way we were playing that we had much of a chance to win that game. But the Tigers came through. They really did. It was a very exciting game. They got the victory 78-65. Man, they played really well defensively. That was probably their best defensive effort this season. You know, they were shooting well. Defense played great. and they pretty much held the lead most of the game. It's great to get the win and to have a complete team victory, both offensively and defensively. And it's almost, in a way, a little bit frustrating just because you see, I talked about this, at the beginning of the season, you see the potential there. You see when they play up to their potential, up to their capabilities, they're a really good team. And they could go and make a run, but it's just getting that consistent effort. It's been really a roller coaster season where we're just not getting the consistent effort. Every game that comes, you don't know what you're going to get. And that's just the inconsistency of this team. It's really been up and down. It in a given night, and that's not ideal for what you're looking for in a basketball team to make a deep run. Can they do it? Absolutely. They have the talent to do it. Will they do it? If I knew that, I'd be a rich man because I'd go buy a lottery ticket. It's just you don't know which team is going to show up. Like I said, it seemed like that break helped them. Maybe I don't know. We'll see what team shows up. They were supposed to play Wednesday against Ole Miss. That game got canceled due to weather. Their next game is at Auburn on Saturday at 3. I believe that game is actually in the PMAC, so it's versus Auburn Saturday at 3 p.m. Go back to Tennessee game. Cam Thomas, 25 points. Javonte Smart, 20 points. We've talked about in the past that Cam Thomas really kind of needs to probably spread the ball around a little bit more. When he's on shooting, he's on shooting, and I don't necessarily have an issue with him shooting the ball when he's on. But there are games where he is not on. And when that is the case, he needs to pass the ball and get rid of it and get some assist and get it to the playmakers. Look, you're not going to be on 100% of the time. No one is. And no one, I don't think, expects him to be. Obviously, you want to be on more often than you're not, but you're just going to have nights where you're just not on. When that comes, Cam Thomas has got to pass the ball. Now, he did have four assists in the game, which is good because, we've talked about in the past, he had two games in a row where he had zero assists. So, with four assists, at least he's spreading the ball around. Actually, he led the team in assists with four. So, that's great seeing it. And like I said before, it was a total team effort, offensively and defensively. When you can get the whole team involved and not just have to rely on one person, or Cam Thomas feel like that, hey, I have to take over this game, and you spread the ball around and everybody's shooting well and everybody's playing defense well, you can go far and you can win. But again, just need to do that on a consistent basis. Cam Thomas was also named the freshman of the week, SEC freshman of the week. Congratulations to him. Javonte Smart, SEC player of the week. So, that kind of goes to show you that you can have more than one superstar on this team and them work cohesively to win games. Obviously, Javonte Smart is a big piece. Cam Thomas is a big piece. Watford's a big piece. So, and I think getting Days back, Days have been injured, getting him back and pretty much almost completely healthy helps out a lot because he is a key player in this offense. When Days went out was kind of when we kind of went down a little bit. So you can really see the impact that Days is making on the team coming back from that injury. Congratulations on the win, Tigers. Again, Auburn Saturday, 3 o'clock. Assuming Auburn can get down here with the weather, I don't think Baton Rouge was hit too bad with the ice and snow. So they should be able to get down here, hopefully, and have this game play. The Ole Miss game will be rescheduled. I haven't heard a time or date when that will be rescheduled, but it will be, I am sure. And we're kind of coming down to the end of the season. We're sitting here, it's March 18th. I'm sorry, February 18th. So we really only have a couple more weeks left before we're hitting March Madness, before we're hitting SEC tournament and then March Madness. So these next few games, I think, are important to give LSU momentum going into the SEC tournament. Once the SEC tournament gets here, we'll talk about seedings and, the bracket and where we're going to play. I think obviously the win against Tennessee definitely helps out LSU as far as moving into the NCAA tournament. Before the Tennessee game, they were projected to be possibly a 10 seed. I haven't seen new projections of where they possibly could be. we'll wait for that to come out. And look, it could be out. Like I said, it's been a crazy week. I haven't had time to really go and investigate a lot further. I've been dealing with ice and stuff. So anyway, we'll find out where they're projected to be ranking. They're just projections. Nobody knows until that actually happens. So we will cover more of that once we get closer to the season. We are going to move on to LSU baseball. Put me in cold. I'm ready to play. Okay, we will be talking, most of this show tonight will be revolved around LSU baseball. They were scheduled to start Friday against the Air Force. That game has been pushed back to Saturday. It'll be Saturday at 1. That is due to weather. They're waiting for Air Force to clear over all of their COVID protocols so they can get down here. Notre Dame, who was supposed to be coming down, who LSU was supposed to be playing, is not coming now due to COVID issues on their team. So LSU will actually play Air Force twice. They will play them Saturday at 1, and they will also play them Sunday at 1. And then they will finish up. The tournament was supposed to be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It is now Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So LSU will play La Tech on Monday at 6:30, obviously all weather permitting. So hopefully they'll be able to do that. Also, the Southern game that was scheduled for February 23rd has been moved to March 3rd. So they will not have a midweek game next week. I did read today, I had mentioned before, I don't know how many fans they were going to let into the stadium. They're going to let 2,500 fans into the stadium. Paul Maneri was on the radio earlier this week. He mentioned on a normal season, 2,500 fans would be good for 18th in the country as far as average. Obviously, LSU is usually up at the top. So with 2,500 fans, I'm glad they're getting some fans in there. It's still not the same. I'm hoping that possibly that number will increase throughout the season. The SEC TV schedule came out as well for LSU, for baseball this year. LSU will have 12 network games. They will have games on SEC Network, ESPNU, and also Cox Sports. And then the other 42 games will be on SEC Plus, which is on the ESPN app. So you will be able to watch all the games either on the SEC Network, ESPNU, or the ESPN app on the SEC Plus channel, which is good. So you'll get to see, you know, all the games. When Coach Maneri was on off the bench, we learned a lot of things that we were curious about that we discussed earlier in the season as far as position players go. And what we learned is I don't think anybody has a freaking clue as to who's going to be starting when and where. Paul Maneri has a plan. That plan seems to change week to week, which that's Maneri. You know, he likes tinkering with the lineup. He likes moving people around, trying to figure out the best situation. So we had spoken in the past about the shortstop position. I believe we had talked about shortstop and told you that, you know, Collar Cranford was probably going to be, you know, we had projected him to be the opening day starter. And at third base, we had said that we thought possibly Zach Arnold would be the opening day starter. Well, all that now is in flux. At shortstop, you're going to get a combination. This is according to Maneri, of Zach Arnold, who we thought was going to start at third, but now will possibly starting at short, and Drew Bianco, who wasn't a name that we were hearing. You know, we were hearing Collier Cranford and Zach Arnold. Now we're hearing Zach Arnold and Drew Bianco. Like I said, your guess is as good as mine. He said that he would probably play both of them at shortstop just because one starts one game, one might not start the next game. He might play one person for 10 games and another person for 10 games. He might play one person for 15, another one for 20. Who the hell knows? It's really going to be determined on who's fielding well and who's hitting well. I mean, that's what's going to determine. And he's hoping that one of them will step up and, you know, kind of outwork the other one, outplay the other one, so as to make, I guess, the decision easier for him. He apparently cannot make up his mind. If Zach Arnold, who I had projected to be the starter at third base, is now the projected possible starter at shortstop, You might say, well, who's going to start at third base? Well, that is a very good question. We figured that possibly Will Stafford might start at third base. He's a freshman, but it is actually a different Will. It is Will Helmers. Now, if you've never heard the name Will Helmers before, you are not alone. Will Helmers, at least not for positional, Will Helmers is actually a pitcher. He is a pitcher. He is a freshman. He is 6'4". He is from Jesuit High School in New Orleans, Louisiana. Go Blue Jays. That is my alma mater, Jesuit High School. And he will be starting apparently at third base. He rejoined the team for a week. He had had some, I guess, COVID issues. Rejoined the team for a week. Coach threw him at third. He did play some third base in high school, but they really were expecting him to pitch, or at least be a relief pitcher, possibly starting some midweek games. Well, they put him at third. Coach says he looks like a natural at third. He's picking the ball well. He's a pitcher, so he's got an 80 to 90 mile per hour fastball. So he can make the throws over to first. He makes the throws accurately. From what I've heard in high school, he had some pop in his bat. And he must be hitting well and practice at least enough to warrant a shot at third base. So he's at third base. That's what he's going to be starting at for, the opening game. I expect Maneri probably to move things around like we've talked about, but he said Will Helmers is probably going to be starting third base against Air Force. So what does that do with Collier Cranford? I mean, for now he's on the bench. Will Stafford, who Well, we also could possibly start a third. He could move to the outfield. He could push DiGiacomo for starting position, starting spot time in center field. So basically, the infield and the outfield, every position in the field, with the exception of probably catcher and pitcher, is pretty much up in the air. If anybody tells you they know who's going to be starting game to game, other than Paul Maneri, then they're lying to you. So if you see any prognosticator online on Twitter saying, unless it comes straight from Maneri and it's a lineup card, God only knows who's going to be starting where. And this is part of the problem with them. Pitching is good. Offense, we'll see. But if you can't have fielders field the ball, pitching ain't going to do much for you. You got a pitcher on the mound who's throwing ground balls, and we can't field to make throws. There's no point. You're not going to strike everybody out. They're going to put the ball in play. He needs to get this infield figure out. He needs to get the left side of it because, the left side of infield, short and third, those are your two most important positions on the infield. He's got to get this figured out, and he's got to do it, I would say, relatively quickly. I'm really hoping Zach Arnold or Bianco or Collier Campbell or whoever decide to put it short, somebody needs to step up and take a hold of that position, defensively and at the plate. You can't be good defensively and not good at the plate. Maneri has been known to sacrifice plate appearances for good defense. That hasn't worked. I mean, it's worked to an extent, but it hasn't worked as far as winning championships go. So we need somebody in this position, players that can hit and field. And like I said, we'll see. I don't know. We're gonna talk about the strength of this team tonight, and we're gonna talk about the pitching staff. Pitching staff, like I said, is gonna be the strength. Starting in the first game against Air Force will be Jaden Hill. He is a junior. 6'4" junior right-hand pitcher. He is moving, from the bullpen to the starting role. He will hopefully be the Friday night starter. So those unfamiliar with college baseball, the way it works, and I think I've talked about this before, but once you especially get into SEC play, well, even at the beginning of the season, you're going to play a three-game series on the weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You'll have a midweek game usually on Monday, and then you go back Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Your Friday night starter is your ace. Okay. That's your best pitcher as far as pitching goes. Saturday, your second guy. Sunday is your third guy. And we'll get more into that in a second. But so Jaden Hill projected to be the Friday night starter, your ace on the mound. Look, he's a good pitcher. He's projected to, you know, this will probably be his last season at LSU. He's projected to be a top five pick in the MLB draft. Maneri said that they are going to, since he is a relief pitcher coming in a starting role, and they see the season as a marathon, which is a good rule of thumb, a good philosophy to go by. They're going to gradually work him into pitching longer and longer. He's going to be on a pitch count. No matter how well he's doing, he's going to be on a pitch count. So expect, you know, the first few starts, 3-4 innings. And then as the season goes on, extend to 5, 6, 7, and so on. He'll definitely be on a pitch count early in the season. He's got command of all of his pitches, you know, a great fastball, 90-mile-per-hour fastball. He's got a good cutter. He's going to be your Friday night starter. Your Saturday starter, your game two starter, is going to be Landon Marceau. Landon Marceau is a junior as well, 6 feet, throws a lot of strikes, will pound the zone with fastballs and changeups. He has a slider, which is really his out pitch. It's a pretty nasty slider. He can go deep into games, which is good. You're going to need that, especially with Hill starting on Friday nights. You're going to be using your bullpen a lot initially. So him going deep into games is going to be, I think, essential. He is a right-handed pitcher. He could also be taken in the draft. He could be a starter for probably a couple SEC teams, and he might end up being our ace. So, but initially, he's going to start off at the number two slot. The number three slot is AJ Labis. He is a redshirt junior, right-hand pitcher. He has been very steady, has very good control. He also can go deep into games, which you're really looking for in a Sunday pitcher, because after Friday and Saturday, your bullpen could definitely be tired. But you know, I say that there's 20 pitchers on this team, so they are very deep in pitcher, and they have four left-handers, which, you know, a few years ago they had zero left-handers, which was a big bone of contention. I know, especially for me, I don't understand how you could put a pitching staff together and not have any left-handed pitchers. It was a very detrimental, and it hurt LSU, and they said, okay, well, we need to go out and get left-handers. So four left-handers, 20 pitchers on the staff. But AJ will be able to go deep into games. His curveball is, you know, continuing to develop. He has a changeup. He can pretty much use at any time. It's a very nice changeup. His fastball is usually about anywhere from 88, 92. Changeup is excellent. And like I said, he'll go deep into games. So it'll kind of save our bullpen a little bit, which is good. Your midweek starters, I'm not going to go too much into them. You know, you're going to have one of them is going to be Garrett Edwards. He's a freshman. Another one will probably be Blake Money. He is a freshman as well. Blake Money is a tall kid, 6'7". So those are going to be your, you know, you're going to have some freshmen in there doing midweek starters. And that's going to be people who you're going to count on to get you midweek games. I'm not saying midweek games aren't important, because they are. They're important to work out wrinkles, to build momentum going into the weekend games. A lot of people put a lot of, I think, unneeded emphasis on midweek games. You know, they'll lose to, I don't know, some crap team from Northwest Iowa or something, and people will be, how did you lose to them? Look, it's going to be the weekend games that are going to matter. Now, the midweek games count, yes, but it's going to be the weekend games and weekend series that it's really going to count. Especially this year, you know, the SEC is tough. They've got a lot of good teams. The midweek games are going to be used to get wrinkles out. Probably your number one relief pitcher is going to be Matthew Beck. He is a 6'7 senior. He is from Alexandria, Louisiana, which is roundabouts where I live now. It feels like he's been at LSU forever. He's got a lot of experience. You know, he is more of a stopper pitcher. He'll come in for a starter if they're in trouble. I mean, he's a stop pitcher. He's got a really good curveball. His fastball is decent. He's not gonna overpower anybody, but he's battle tested. He's been in games. He's been there a long time, which is good. You need that senior leadership that calmness to come in a situation to be a stop pitcher. You know, you're more than likely when you're that guy, you're going to be coming in when there's runners in scoring position and you're going to need to get him out. So he's definitely a central part of the pitching staff and a very good one. Another relief pitcher, probably one of our main ones, at least closer, is going to be Devin Fontenot. He is a senior. Man, he's unreal. He is a strike thrower, has a great fastball. Glad to see him back in purple and gold. He attacks hitters. He is, you know, the kind of guy who just goes out there and he is very intimidating, the way he looks, the way he throws. He's got a slider as well. He's got a three-quarter release. He's just scary. When he comes into the game, you feel good him coming into the game because he's 9 times out of 10 going to shut the team down in the last inning. That is your pitching. Again, that is going to be the strength of this team. Again, with the position players, especially in the infield, it's going to be anybody's guess. It really is. Hopefully, Maneri can put it together. Said it once, you'll hear me say it a million times, until Maneri goes, they're not going to win another championship. He is, I don't even want to say he's the Les Miles of coaching anymore, because after last show, you know how I feel about Les Miles. But he has a lot of talent. He usually has a lot of talent, but I don't think he is capable of getting the full potential out of that talent. Obviously, he's a very, you know, he's a successful coach. He's one of the most winning coaches in NCAA history. But I really think it's time for him to, unless he can pull something out this year, I think it's time for him to go. We're going to move on, talk a little bit about LSU softball. Despite these frigid temperatures that we've been having, LSU softball went ahead and played a game against North Dakota. And what a game it was. They won 19-3. They had a 15-run inning, which is pretty incredible. I think it tied for like the fourth or fifth most runs in an inning. They I believe only played 5 innings because they scored 15 in the fourth. They basically 10-run ruled them. And they won 19-3. It was a slaughter. They're hitting dingers left and right. It's been ridiculous at how good they have been thus far. And, you know, if the season keeps going like that, we'll be talking about them a lot more because I like winners. I like winners. And if they're winning, we are going to be talking about them. So, and if they keep hitting dingers the way they're hitting them and scoring 19 runs and scoring 15 runs in one inning, we will sure be talking about them a little bit more as the season progresses. But we're going to move on to some LSU gymnastics. I came to get down. I came to get down. So get out your seat and jump around. Jump around. For your sake, I hope that you took my advice and you watched LSU versus Florida in gymnastics last Friday night. Bar none, the best gymnastics meet I have probably ever seen. Both teams were extremely competitive. Both teams pushed each other to the limit. And it was very suspenseful. And it literally came down to the last floor routine. It came down to the last pass on the floor routine. And Haley Bryant went to do her last pass. God bless her. She tripped or slipped and fell. LSU wound up taking the loss, 198.050 to 198.150. So it was a very close meet. Listen, Haley Bryant, after apologized for falling. Haley, I know you're probably not listening to this show, but if you are, you have nothing to be sorry for. It was a great effort. She's a freshman. She's going to come back from this. She's going to learn from this. And they will be better because of this loss. You know, they had a lot of people step up because we had several injuries. So a lot of freshmen came in and stepped up. Alona Shinnikova was just killing it this week. She was actually named Specialist of the Week in the SEC. She has just stepped up tremendously and has been really doing well. But, you know, like I said, it came down to that last pass. if Haley hits that last pass, we win. And with the injuries that we had and the people that stepped up, and we still came within like literally an inch of winning, it just shows you how awesome this team is and how good they're going to be when the SEC tournament comes and the national championship tournament comes. Florida is still number one. LSU is still number two. This is the first time that LSU has scored 198 a 198 score this season. Like I said, both teams are pushing it. The 198 for LSU, 198.050 was third highest score of the 2021 season. It was really a great meet. It really was. If you missed it, I feel sorry for you. Try to go on the ESPN app, and it probably is in the archives. It was a tremendous meet, and I expect really big things. Guys, they can win a natty. They can 100% win the natty. With that kind of performance that they had, they can 100%, no doubt in my mind, win a national championship, which LSU has never won a national championship in gymnastics. And this team can do it. They have the senior leadership and Olivia Gunter, Sammy Durante, Reagan Campbell, Christina Desiderio, Bridget Dean. They have the senior leadership and they have the freshman talent with Olivia Dunn, Arenas, Alanya's kicking butt. Haley Bryant's killing it. They have the team that can win a national championship. I have no doubt in my mind they can do that. And this loss, it hurt, but I also think there was more positives that came out of it than there were negatives, because they know that they were so close to beating them, and they know that they will beat them next time. And we will, hopefully, knock on wood. I'm not trying to jinx anything. I was told this week by one of my friends, and he knows who he is, George Williams, that I jinxed the gymnastics team by saying how good they were and that they were going to kill it. I still think they're going to kill it. Not jinxing them. I'm knocking on wood. They're going to do great things this season. They will be facing, gymnastics will be facing number two Bama this week at 7:30 on Friday. Number two, LSU versus Bama, 7:30 Friday. It will be on the ESPN app. So please make sure you go and watch the girls perform. I promise you again, you will not be disappointed. They are really, really tremendous. So that is all the show we have for you right now. We want to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all your friends about the Dome Patrol United Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts for free, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, which we do after Saints games, the Dome Patrol podcast, which we haven't done one in a while. We'll be doing one soon, probably once some Drew Brees stories start breaking. We also have the BS and Beer Saints podcast, the Pelican Plunge, the Premier League podcast, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, and of course, the Tiger's Den. Follow each show on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast, at Dome Patrol UK, BSN Beer Media, Taking the Over, and our show at Tiger_podcast. Follow us on Facebook for live streams. Just search for Dome Patrol Podcast. And if you want to listen the old-fashioned way, go to domepatrolpodcast.com. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you on the other side. Good night, Tiger Nation.
Yeah, fighting tigers, fight all the way. Yeah, fighting tigers, win the game today. You've got to know how you're doing fine. Hang on to the ball and you hit the wall and smack right through that line. You gotta go for the touchdown, run up the score, make Mike the Tiger stand right.